You don't have to be deeply spiritual to know that right now, our world is just a little bit nuts, a little bit crazy. And each of us is really being challenged to keep our mindset towards the positive and our energy level high. So I think you'll really be blessed by today's conversation. Today, I am speaking with Helena Goldstein. She is a spiritual mentor and a lightworker living in Denmark and working globally. Helena has explored various personal and spiritual growth modalities since 1973, and she's been including these in other aspects of her work, particularly music, since 1980. Helena has an ability to connect with other people's energy, their feelings, and their soul, which has, among other things, enabled her to mentor and teach experienced spiritual seekers. Helena's expertise includes reconnecting with love, transforming loneliness to joy, and integrating personal, creative, and spiritual life, flow, and awakening. Welcome to Liberate Your Authentic Self with Dr. Andrea Pennington, the prescription for living your life out loud. Tune in daily to get fired up with insight and inspiration for purposeful living, conscious relationships, and soulful success. Well, first of all, I just want to say thank you, Helena, for being here with us on Liberate Your Authentic Self.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure and an honor to be here. Thank you.
Well, I have always been drawn to your energy from the first time that we met. And every time we even meet online, you have this glow. You have a presence about you that is at one point it's elevating, but at the same time, it's very grounding. And I just love it. So it's an honor for me to be connected with you as well.
Well, thank you.
Well, I think that one of the things I'd love to start off with is, obviously, we know that you are on this mission to really empower light workers so that we can really learn to see and feel and sense the light in everything, which is so beautiful, and it's quite poetic and metaphorical. But I think what would be interesting to start off with is a little bit about your life philosophy. You've said that your perspective on life is that it's an adventure. It's a dream. It's a journey in consciousness. For all of us as individuals and as an adventure, it's full of experiences, challenges, victories, and surprising turns, which is why you're saying, you know, we just have to see the light in everything, even the things that we might consider negative or painful. But if you would, I'd love to hear in your voice how you think this adventure starts. You have a beautiful perspective of how we leave this state of love and joy when we come into this human existence.
Yeah, that is true. And you know, everything that I express comes from experience, because I've been in situations we all have where the experience was that what can I count on? What can I really believe? And what I found at the time is that I only could count on my own experience. So no matter how wise, you know, spiritual books I've read, and I have, it wasn't enough. So I had to go back to my experience always. And that's what I do, and also invite others to do. So that goes for my philosophy as well. The experience of us coming from light and from love is something that we can sense intuitively, but there is also for me again an experience that came to me, a remembrance of the first maybe months that I had here on earth, where I remember this field of love that was like everywhere. It was endless. And I believe that this is universal. I don't think it was just me or it's just me. I believe that this is the state we come in as we enter the physical dimension or the physical experience. And the next thing that happens for just about everyone, and typically within the first 3 years or so of our life, is that it starts to shrink, that field of love. We encounter the challenges of life very early through our parents, through our circumstances. We as babies, as children, as these sensitive, completely open beings, we react very strongly even to minor challenges, and that builds up like shell upon shell and layer upon layer of protection, of, and later on, of ideas, of beliefs. So as we move into life and grow up, we move away from that source that we are and that we come from, and become those complicated human beings that we become. And then for I believe at the end of the day, perhaps it's the calling in each and every human being, the more or less conscious awareness of where we come from, and the longing to come back, and there are countless ways in which we as humans try to come back, and some are more effective than others, and some are more adequate than others, you could say. But for some of us, it becomes a spiritual search. Mm. Somehow, maybe in different ways, I'm sure we you know, maybe we have like direct experiences of this other reality. And or maybe we, you know, someone tells us about something like, you know, meditation or any other spiritual practice, and so we embark on this journey of where we try to come back, basically try to get back to where we come from, try to get back home. And it's a long journey and a challenging one, and although I have a feeling that it gets shorter and shorter, in my generation it could take maybe 40 years, the next generation maybe 20, the next maybe 10, and I don't know, maybe the next generation, they're just born with it, I don't know. But it is a long journey, and it is very challenging, and like in every adventure, it's something that I think we can see when we look back. We can rarely see it when we're in the middle of it, but when we look back in our life, at our life, then things really make sense, and mm-hmm. we can see, right? We can see how the challenges we experience, how they made us grow and made us unfold, that enables us to move forward in the directions we wanted to. So that's basically it. That's the adventure, is that we on one hand take this love with us, and try to get back to it, and on the other hand we take everything else that we've learned and partly try to get rid of it, but at the same time take it with us. It's complicated, but it's a fantastic adventure.
And you also believe that, you know, through this life journey, this adventure, we can experience a homecoming or an awakening, where we realize that essence of love, that, you know, just bath of love and light that we came from, never really left us.
Absolutely. I know that, you know, I know you've had these experiences. I've had these experiences. There are many others. I imagine it happens in very different ways. I think many people have had like glimpses of it in meditations, and some had like deeper experiences of meditations. In meditation, I had this experience where I was like, you know, hitting rock bottom. It's something similar as your story. So at a point in my time, when in my life, where I lost all hope, and I was laying on my floor literally, and was just completely hopeless and completely giving up, not like actively giving up at that point, but just there was nothing I could do, and I've tried everything, and all of a sudden, and I was very lonely at that point, and very in deep emotional pain and deep emptiness. And all of a sudden, from one like less than a second, it's like it's a time you cannot measure, I was in complete bliss.
Wow.
Complete bliss. Where and it was it was all and like it was everywhere and it was everything. There was nothing but love and light in that room. And that lasted for a few hours, and then it started to like dissolve as it does, and that again took me on a like next step of the journey where I was trying to get back to that feeling,
yeah.
And I couldn't by will, but it happened again, and then along the way. It was easier and easier to get to either that feeling or something like related to it, close to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember if the feeling of homecoming came in the same way, but at some point along this journey, as things opened up and opened up and opened up, and my heart opened up, and I found that love is not, you know, something outside of me or something that I need to search with other people, but it was flowing through me. The more that kind of built up, the feeling, the more I felt at home.
Hmm.
And it is a feeling that on one hand is like, you know, the feeling of the spiritual home, the feeling of being at home with your soul, or being so connected with your soul that you are at home. But it also, for me at least, and I don't think it's only for me, but it also changes completely the way I relate with the world, because it also becomes a home. Before I've had these homecoming experiences, I felt really like a stranger in the world. I have always been a minority in all kinds of ways, a minority expert, and so felt alienated from other people in many ways. But as this feeling of homecoming became stronger and stronger, I noticed that I feel connected with everyone and I feel at home everywhere. And again, I do not believe this is something that is special for me or is individual. I feel this is the potential and the journey that is open for all of us.
Mm. Wow. You know, I relate to that, as you know my story very well. I don't remember, as you experienced in those first months of life, you remember the feeling of that joy, that bliss, that love. I don't remember that, but what I do remember from a very early age is that longing you talk about, that mm-hmm. that knowing that it was more, for me, it was more of a knowing than a feeling. It was like, I know that I belong in a state of bliss and love, and I'm not feeling that here. And so I had this experience of longing, which definitely did start me on this path of spiritual seeking. So one of the things that you've said is that in recognition of all of the global challenges that we're facing, that you're really dedicated to helping people like me, the spiritual seeker, become a powerful, grounded light worker that can raise the level of light and joy in our own lives everywhere we go, and even globally. And I just love it. It's so beautiful. It resonates with me a lot. Can you just give us a little hint, like what in your, you know, experience, what is a light worker?
Good question. And by the way, we help each other, all of us do.
Yes.
It goes all the way around. What is a light worker? Oh my God. you know, as you know, there are so many definitions and so many experiences of what it is. And as a matter of fact, it is a concept that I've been avoiding most of my life because, like, really deliberately, because I did not resonate with the way it was being used. For example, I've seen it being used as, you know, I'm better than you, I'm a light worker. Or there is darkness there, but I'm the light, you know. So
yeah.
It was really, I did not want, it's just not my way. So But eventually, I have surrendered recently to kind of redefine it, and also because it's I have the sense that we're having a light worker revolution
I do
these
too.
days. Oh, you do? Because this is so new to me, like the word revolution, really. But yeah, it's almost like exploding in a peaceful way. It's spreading so much. So it is important perhaps now to use that word. So back to the question, what is a light worker? So to me, it is someone that is connected with the energy of light. And how do you put that in words? I really don't know, but it's connected with the light, with the soul, to a degree that it affects other people, and this can be, you know, this doesn't have to be a conscious choice. For many of us, it is, obviously, for people that have, you know, healers, coaches, therapists, teachers, artists. This is often a conscious experience and a conscious choice. But I've met people that I believe we all have, that there really are light workers. They have never heard the word. They may not even define themselves as spiritual people. But they, the way they are with other people has that effect. To give you an example, there was a situation in my life when I was 15 where that was like really the crisis in my life, you could say, aside from the ones that came later. But this was like really, really a really difficult time when I was about to losing everything, you know, lose my country, lose my friends, lose everything. And I spoke at that time, and I didn't have anyone to speak with, and a stranger like invited me to speak with a man, and so I went to a meeting where this man was, and there was like a group of people, and he would just like walk around and, you know, say a few things, and then he came to me, and he didn't ask me why I was there, and he didn't you know, ask, you know, what my problem was. He just kind of just looked at me, and then he said, "You will be okay. You will be all right." Mm. And then he went on, and that really gave me the something to hold on to, that lasted for years after, and that I needed until I found out that I really would be all right. And it's not the words, because people say that to each other all the time. "Oh, you will be all right," you know, and it's really, many times we say it, you know, because we don't want to feel the other person's pain, or because we're ignorant, or because we just say something. There's so many reasons, but this was different. Hmm. This was really like just vibrating. I didn't know that. I wasn't sensitive to that, but it affected me. And that's what light workers do, I believe. It's not so much, it can be, you know, actions, it can be choices in all kinds of ways, and that is important too. But to be able to, in your own life, in the environment you are, to have that connection with light, so that it connects with the light in the environment, connects with the light in the other people, that's a light worker to me. Mm. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. It gives me the impression of being a conduit. Like, we mm-hmm. are of the light. There's light all around us. There's light in everyone. And it's not that we're necessarily have to do anything, but being present mm-hmm. and being willing to connect and flow and be can have this dramatic impact, even with just a few spoken words or just a look. And mm-hmm. as you know, I always say that you're a gift to the world, so share mm-hmm. your presence. So by being willing to be open to the possibility that light is everywhere, mm-hmm. then we can be more open to just be present. We don't always have to be in the doing. We can just be a home,
no.
You know, a human being. Well, when we get back from the break, I'd love to dive more a little bit into this concept of, you know, a light worker revolution, because I agree with you, something special is going on. So we'll pick it up there when we get back.
You're listening to the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. It's where we say, let the silent voices be heard. We invite you back to AmericaOutLoud.com to get all the latest. Make it a daily stop and also get the app. You can go right to the App Store and download our free app, and that will put all our content right into your hands on your phones and your tablets. It doesn't get any easier than that. Looking good and feeling good are not exactly the same thing. It's just like a car. It may look good from the outside, but what's the inside look like? More importantly than that, what's the inside of your cells look like? That's a question you need to ask yourself. Well, when I started taking Healthy Cell just a few months ago, it has changed my program. I mean, it's boosted my energy. I sleep better, sharper focus. I feel healthier, and hopefully we'll all live longer with improved cells. Well, 90-plus nutrients infused into every cell of your body. Well, this is an exclusive offer for Friends of America Out Loud. You can try it today free. When I say free, I mean free. It's our Healthy Cell Pro 7-Day Sample. Free shipping, no risk, no obligation, no credit card required. So this is a complimentary gift from America Out Loud. You can go to healthycell.com/outloudsample or just go to AmericaOutLoud.com and click the large banner ad, and our complimentary gift will be on its way to your home.
Welcome to the new era in talk radio. America Out Loud, providing you with diverse voices, heated discussions, and honest opinions about life, love, politics, health, and well-being. Discover the Out Loud perspective to society and lifestyle, politics, your faith and spirituality, personal development, and living an out loud life. You're listening to Liberate Your Authentic Self with Dr. Andrea Pennington. My guest today is Helena Goldstein. She has been on a spiritual journey for more than 40 years, and now she's committed to helping you, a spiritual seeker, a light worker, really stay connected to light, even when you feel like you're going through the darkest of times. Helena, before we went to break, we were talking about this concept of a light worker revolution, and I do feel like there is, you know, this increased energy, this bubbling, this awakening. And, you know, I almost don't even want to say that because it almost sounds cliche. I've heard so many people say, oh, people are awakening across the planet. But now that I feel it and I see it more, I am getting a sense of urgency. And maybe it's because I'm an American and there's a lot of turmoil that that hasn't ended. You know, we talk about cycles, and unfortunately, I don't know very many countries on the planet who haven't gone through at least one cycle of depression or oppression or war or strife. But I think we as Americans got a little comfortable, you know, the civil rights movement kind of died down, the women got some rights, and then it seemed like we went through a little, I don't know, I'm only 46, but it seemed like for me, my experience of America, there was a time of peace, and you know, it was like, go get them, you know, live the American dream. And then things really started to feel dark and look dark, and you know, I mean, I can go on and on about the wars and the racism and the, you know, the recession and sexism. I mean, gosh, I could go on, but I am feeling that there is an awakening happening. People who I wouldn't have ever thought were spiritual seekers, for example, you know, I've been this way all my life, but there are people that are just sort of like suddenly hungry for understanding of these concepts and these feelings. So what do you think? Do you think that we're just going through another cycle of time, or is this a unique thing, or is it just, I don't know what? Tell me.
I wish I had an answer. I don't know, but I can, of course, share my experience. And my experience is that it's really both. I really do believe that we go through cycles and waves, and this is how evolution happens, through these waves and through these cycles. And I also, you know, sometimes rarely remember how relative it all is. You know, when we have a life, we it is so important to us, like my 62 years are like the most important in the world, obviously. But then when you know, we kind of remember, oh, there is like generation after generation after generation, and you know, the whole evolution and millions of years. And in that perspective, it's just, you know, glimpses,
right.
Nothing more. But these glimpses and this evolution, it all happens through cycles. So I believe it's another cycle. But on the other hand, another cycle. On the other hand, there is such a strong feeling, exactly as you describe, of things building up. So just to give you an example, when I started on this journey, I was around 18 and I started to meditate. That was such a weird thing to do at the time, you know. No one was talking about it. It was pretty close to being crazy. And it was just transcendental meditation. Today it's like, oh, just that, you know, nothing special about it. But it was that rare and that like hidden. And then there was like another, I don't know, maybe 20 years passed. And then there were more and more people talking about it. And today it's like mainstream,
yeah, right?
You know, CEOs of big companies meditate. Google has a meditation room. Apple has a meditation room. It's everywhere. So that's part of it. It's that it's building up as an opportunity. But there is also... there is also a feeling of it, of this urgency that you talk about. And I have like really difficulties to put it into word. And the word revolution is like came to me just like a few days ago. And I went like, revolution, not evolution, revolution. But yeah, that's the experience. So it is building up, and maybe this is the kind of, hopefully it's a peaceful revolution, but it's a revolution maybe of the way we think, the way we choose, the way we relate. The way I experience it, among other things, is that, just to give you an example, I have neighbors that you know, they're just good people and good neighbors, and from time to time we drink coffee and it looks like we have completely like different interests and different lives. So I've been like keeping it this way for years, but within the recent month I felt it was important, you know, when they started asking me, so what are you doing? So I'm really like express what I was doing. And it was as if they were just waiting for it, you know. Then they start talking about their spiritual experiences and the emotional experiences that relate to it. And I've seen it in different contexts, that there are people that are just waiting to open that door, and they can, and maybe, and among other things, our role as light workers to, you know, to bring it even more into the open, so that they can open the door. And again, not in the sense that we are saving them or anything like that, but in the sense that, you know, one spiritual being meeting the other spiritual being and saying, hey, it's time to come out of the hiding. You
yes.
know, let's talk. So with this building up, and the other aspect of it is, as you mentioned before, is that there is a sense of crisis, a sense of global crisis. And again, it's kind of, you know, it's so easy not to think about it. It's so easy to disregard it, you know, to not, I don't watch news, but, you know, just headlines and then I'm gone,
yeah.
But that's enough. But it's so easy to just stay in that comfortable world that we live, the 1% of humanity that we are, we live in that comfortable world, and it's so easy to disregard that there's so much going on around climate, environment, humanity as a whole. So there's this building up of crisis, of conflict, of challenge on really like global level, and there's also the building up of awareness. And that means transformation, doesn't it?
It does. And I think the challenge is, you've said it before, that, you know, once we start waking up and we realize we come from light and love, and then we look at the negativity around us, the strife, mm-hmm. and the challenge is, keeping, as you say, one foot in each world, you know? Well, what do you recommend for us light workers? How do we deal with, you know, this challenge of all the negativity?
Yeah, it is a challenge because we're very human, right? So we, as human beings, we are used to react in polarity. So when we experience negativity, we want to fight it. This became very clear to me when the Donald Trump came into power, and there were many people reacting very strongly against it for all kinds of good reasons. What I noticed is that people that, you know, healers, coaches, people that have like deep awareness, they were almost losing themselves. In my experience, it is a subjective experience, I totally realize that, but in my experience, they were almost losing themselves in fury, in powerlessness, in fear. And I had that, saw that tendency with me as well, you know, the old rebel in me to want to fight against it, which is like really creating a double negativity.
Right, right.
So fortunately I didn't, but and realized that this is an invitation to really stay centered. So that is my suggestion and my invitation to be open to whatever is going on around us, to take whatever action we need to take, to feel whatever we need to feel, including the fury or anger or fear or frustration. And at the same time, stay connected with the light. Really build up that connection, make it stronger and stronger so that you are in that connection with light, you are in the connection with the ground, and you are centered. So that you can, rather than being like thrown and, you know, bounced around by these strong emotions and reactions and thoughts, you can embrace them, or we can embrace them, and we can stay in that light worker position. So stay shining light and stay just keeping a balance. Not necessarily a balance is a funny word, because it's not a balance between light and dark and or positive and negative to me, but more like being that centered place and keeping, you know, I have this picture of maybe that's the revolution too, this picture of Earth and there being more and more light workers that connect with each other as well. And so create like an aura or a belt of light around it all, so that these whatever needs to happen can happen in terms of reactions and revolutions in other ways. But that light is still there to protect the process, to balance the process, and also to make it a bit milder, perhaps, you know, to affect the process so it's not as dangerous as it can become, which I'm not saying in order to create fear, because I'm not into that at all, but it is a big challenge.
Well, one of the ways that you advocate to help us stay grounded and connected is through meditation. And I recently listened to your beautiful guided meditation that you have generously provided for us, called Finding Light Everywhere. So can you talk to me a little bit about this, the concept? Because obviously we get it. Okay, we're made of light. Light is everywhere. But how do you practically stay connected? Is it through this type of a meditation process that we gently, slowly start to recognize, we develop a different sight, a sense for the light, or what practical means do you have for us to do that?
Well, that definitely is that this is something we develop, but like in general, I really believe that we all have our own connection. And I'm, in that sense, I'm not able to say, you know, do this and this, or I'm not the type of a teacher that would say, do this and this, and then you will connect with light. It is always a journey within, and because we have had those experiences of life, it's really a search again. So yes, meditation can help to like get into a state where there's enough peace around you and enough enough like being just being enough openness. And the willingness to see and to experience that deepest connection within you. And then it's a practice. It's about getting back to it again and again and again. That is part of it. And how it happens is really individual. So some people maybe use affirmations or use thoughts, or and other people will use feelings, and for other people it will be a physical connection. There's a certain physical sense that I'm there. So I cannot say it in general, but I invite everyone to yes, to meditate, and hopefully this meditation can be helpful as a starter. But it's really about noticing, where is that connection with me? And then ground yourself. That is so important. The more we ground it, the more light can flow in. It cannot flow in when we're not grounded. But as we notice it, then again, practice it in our own way and let it unfold. I'm sorry, I cannot like provide something more concrete, but it is a search too.
Yeah,
it is a search too.
What do you mean by grounding? Obviously, a lot of the nature people that I connect with, when they say grounding, they mean literally go out in nature, take off your shoes and your socks and get grounded, feel Mother Earth, get that exchange of these ions. Is that what you mean by grounding, or what are you talking about?
Partly. Another aspect of grounding for me is to develop a very intimate relationship with our bodies. This is and has been a challenge for many people on a spiritual journey, is that there's a more or less conscious experience of a conflict between being spiritual and being physical. In reality, as I see it, there is no conflict at all. But that's the
experience.
That's the experience that it is so different that there is a fear of losing the light if you go right really deep into the physical, and also experiences of cutting off, which as it turns out really isn't about the body but about thoughts, but that's a different story. It's our thoughts that cut us off light and not our bodies. And as always, I'm speaking from my own experience. I've had to some degree a distant relationship with my body most of my life. And what I notice is that as I come back to my body, and we all have had a very close relationship with our body as children, and then as grown-ups, we there are like some areas of life where we like come back to our body, and then we remove ourselves. But as what I notice is that as I like come back to my body, in every aspect of it, the light flows in. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, muscle meets light. And there are different ways. To me, it has been massage. It has been, again, meditation, but like on my body. It has also been just doing, playing, you know, dancing, running, walking, whatever works for one, but coming back to the intimate experience of being one with your body, and then being one with your light at the same time. That's the magic, as far as I can see.
Oh, and that's beautiful. That's a beautiful analogy of magic, the magic of recognizing you are connected. Well, when we come back from the break, I'd love to explore a little bit more of how your vision for us as light workers and joy keepers on our path right now, because I know that you're really motivated to build a network of light workers. So when we get back from the break, we'll pick it up there.
But we're a new breed of talk radio with a new breed of host and shows to entertain and inform you. It's America Out Loud Talk Radio. Shows that impact your health, honor our heroes, political talk, shows that inspire you to live a truly authentic life. You can hear your favorite shows on networks like iHeartRadio or AHA Radio, or just download our free apps on both Android and Apple. But we are proud to have you as one of our growing family of listeners. We are the Vision of the Voices, AmericaOutLoud.com.
You're listening to Liberate Your Authentic Self with me, Dr. Andrea Pennington. Check me out on Instagram at Dr. Andrea Pennington. And now, back to the show. We all have busy lives. There's so much going on in our own personal experience and certainly in the world around us. So today we're talking about how you can stay grounded, connected to your body, and connected to other people, the best in other people, the love and the light that is there if you'll just take time to notice it. So my guest today is Helena Goldstein. She is a light worker and a joy keeper. And Helena, when I heard you talking about these different experiences of grounding, whether that's through dance or play or meditation, it reminded me of a conversation I had with someone who was saying, oh, meditation is all supposed to be spiritual. Now everybody's hijacked mindfulness. Now they're doing it for stress reduction and changing their heart. And I kind of chuckled, like, well, why is that a bad thing? Because as you were talking about how disconnected you felt many times from your own body, I've seen it just in my previous life as a medical doctor, I've seen the exact same thing. People were so disconnected from their physical body. They stayed in their mind if they were the busy entrepreneur type or the obsessive type, or they stayed in their work, or many moms focused on their kids. And so their physical body was just kind of following along or getting things done, but not with that consciousness and that attention. And so when we introduced mindfulness and meditation into our treatment programs for addiction, for eating disorders, mm-hmm. For all sorts of pain problems, the thing that I heard was, oh my gosh, I've always been avoiding feeling my body. And that's why I would numb myself or distract myself with food or with shopping or with drugs or, you know, focusing on relationships, whether that was kids or intimate relationships. And so when people say, well, it's mindfulness and meditation is supposed to be spiritual, I'm like, yeah. And guess what? If you don't get back connected to this body that is the vehicle for your spirit, you're not going to be able to get onto a spiritual path. And I find that through meditation and even if it is yoga or gardening, I have people who say that when they're gardening, it becomes a spiritual experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They feel connected in their body. They feel connected in the earth. And they get that same sort of experience that I get in meditation or chanting. They can get it through action. So I love that you're talking about this as a grounding practice. And it is part of the spiritual journey. And if it does help you lower your blood pressure and lower your stress hormones, that's important because we need this physical body to get us through our spiritual adventure, right?
Right. And also, you know, I think it's I agree with you completely. Not the first time. but yeah, it's a blessing that these things are coming and becoming available for everyone. How can that ever be bad? That said, I also recognize that there is, we're all different, and there's something that's called expertise, and there's something that's called a deeper need. So the analogy that comes to mind right now is singing, right? So some people are professional singers like you are, and some people just sing, right? They walk on the beat. So saying that, are they hijacking song? No.
right.
They're expressing themselves in whatever way is right. And And obviously, I don't think that being a spirit, you know, and have an expertise in spirituality is any better than having an expertise in dancing or in, you know, writing or in building computers. It's an expertise. It's an area of life where we decided to go really deep because we had reasons to. But that doesn't mean that we own it.
Right.
Or I know that there are many forms of meditations today that I just don't do because it doesn't work for me anymore. I only do silent meditation now because that's the only thing that works for me now. But whatever works for anyone, do it. Do it.
Yes. And I love that you say that even as a mentor, you don't want people, you know, relying solely on you. It's about finding your own path and your own truth, because once you're connected to it, I love how you said it for yourself, that you just felt like you were coming home. And it wasn't that you had to follow any guru or any prescribed process or path, although that's part of the journey that we all explore,
yes.
Right? But then you get to this point of your own knowing, your own experience, that you don't have to push on anyone. You just live it. And I also love the expression of joy keepers. I've asked you about this many times before, because for one thing, it brought me joy to even hear you saying it and seeing it written. I was like, yeah, the joy keepers, we need them. We, you know, I almost figure that they're kind of like a special category, that they're the ones over there that, you know, for those of us that do get into rebel mode, and, you know, I'm really trying to embrace the hashtag peaceful rebellion from one of my dear new friends, Helen Rebello. But there are times when I realize, okay, I'm glad that there are some joy keepers in the world, because if I get in my activist role, I need to be able to look to a joy keeper that's like, you know what, Andrea, remember, there's joy. Despite all the strife, there's joy. So why do you use this expression, joy keeper?
Well, maybe because I've really been a rebel big time. I've been so angry. I've been such a fighter for decades. I know all about it. This is also why the word revolution makes me quite, you know, a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, because maybe you're afraid you're going to reignite that part of it.
but I, you know, And I'm not kind of like stopping that, but the word joy keeper, it came to me. Well, that I sometimes want to say two things at the same time. Do you know that feeling?
Yes.
Not
oh,
possible.
Yes.
Oh yeah. So one thing is the expression itself is that I feel that. No, I know that perhaps the most distinct, you know, feeling that goes along with the soul or with the light is joy, and I don't mean like, you know, happiness when something good happens to you, but this universal joy that is there, like always, it's a vibration, it's a feeling, it's a peaceful thing. and so it is a reminder that as light workers we are joy keepers. And I'm not so sure that we are like a special, you know, like department. but I do believe that as light workers, we are joy keepers, because by connecting with light, we also keep the joy. That's part of it. The other part of it, and that kind of relates to what you said before about the activists and the rebellion, is that there are many people, and I have been one of them for years, so there's no judgment there. Sure, that experience that are like very serious about spirituality, and it really has something to do, in my experience, with an inner conflict, inner issues that haven't been quite resolved. But as a result, there is this experience of using spirituality to fight something else, either within oneself or in the world. And I really believe that, and I'm subjective in that because, you know, on one hand, I invite any kind of light workers, it's so good. And on the other hand, I have this preference. So my preference is to really go so deep into the connection with the light that it becomes a lightness within oneself. I do believe that a light worker is, I do not believe being a light worker is a heavy duty. We're not soldiers. We're not like, you know, pushing against a solid wall. It might look like it, but we're basically connecting with light and with joy, and we're radiating it. That's the job. That's all there is to it, to stay centered, to be like, you know, like an antenna that connects with that light and then radiate it. That's all there is to it as far as I'm concerned. And that brings light, and that brings joy. Mm. So it's a light kind of joy, of job, to be a joy keeper.
Yes, yes, I love it. I love it. It's not a heavy duty. It's not a heavy burden. And we don't have to get so serious when we become spiritual. So tell me a bit about your vision for creating this network of light workers.
Yeah, that is a good question because it's work in progress. So, yeah. And I have been very true to the process. So I have not tried, unlike earlier, you know, projects I've had, I have not tried in any way to plan it up front, to figure out where it's going to go or how it's going to get there. I'm really taking it step by step. So in terms of the network, I do not know much yet, which is natural because I'm just starting to building this. I imagine and envision that a connection, and I know we all know how different it is to meditate, for example, in a group, and that can be a physical group, but it can be, you know, across the world, how powerful it is to do it together, and how that builds up energy and enhances everything we do. So it's obvious to me that it makes sense to create this network where we can do things like that together. And I imagine that as a diverse network. So I may have my preference for joy keeping and lightness and stuff like that, but I would really want that to be connecting with people that have different experiences or different approaches, because I really feel it's needed. It's needed and it's important and it's possible. So that's like part of it. And then there is an aspect of it is that that I've been downloading, as we say nowadays, some teachings, which I call the Lightworker Manual. So it came as a surprise to me completely. And I'm still working on it, so I'm like moving through it myself. But I imagine that in my little corner of the world, I will be sharing these teachings, perhaps individually only in the beginning, and then later in groups, to support light workers in doing this light work and being able to. To surrender to it.
Mm. Yes. So that's what is to come, this network and possibly taking us through this Lightworker Manual. And what's available today? So people can work with you one-on-one in a mentoring relationship?
Yes, that's what's available. So at this point, I have this like shorter, like a chunk of this Lightworker program that I call empowerment sessions. And this is like a program with six one-on-one sessions. And this was motivated by something we were talking about before, namely, you know, how to relate to the negativity that is around us. Because as I discovered and really notice in lightworker forums, negativity seems to be the number one challenge for lightworkers. Mm-hmm. It's because we are sensitive, because we are empaths, we are easily overwhelmed by negativity yeah. and have strong reactions to it. And that prevents us from doing the light work.
Yeah.
So I felt and was guided to start with that like specific work. And again, because I believe it's individual, how we can step into the kind of empowerment that allows us to meet the negativity without getting overwhelmed, and to stand in the light. So I've created this empowerment sessions program, and then eventually it will expand into the entire manual.
Excellent. Well, for those of you that would love to get some empowering insight, inspiration in a mentoring capacity, then visit helenagold.com. And also you can download the beautiful guided meditation that she prepared, Finding Light Everywhere. Also visit helenagold.com. Well, Helena, thank you so much for being with us, for sharing your light, for reminding us that we are all made of light, that no matter how things look, everything is divine. It comes from the source. And when we can reconnect to that, we can spread that light and that joy everywhere. Thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. And thank you for all the work you're doing and bringing the best out in all of us. Thank you. And thanks to everyone who's listened.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, my dear friends, it is always a joy to connect with you. I will remind you that you are a gift to the world. So share your presence with passion. And until next time, may you be free from suffering. May you be truly well in body, mind, and heart. And may you know true happiness. Much love. Bye. Thanks for tuning in. Be sure to follow me on Twitter at Dr. Andrea. And did you know? I'm on the radio daily. Visit AmericaOutloud.com to download the Talk Radio app.